This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, how you can help yourself. Tonight's guest, Leon Modeste, in charge of the Episcopal Church's $9 million program of grants for self-help programs in America's ghettos. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call Collect from anywhere in the country. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. Our guest tonight has spent about $1 million so far this year. It wasn't his money, and it wasn't government money. It was Episcopalian money. And Leon Modeste, who will be spending some $8 million more of it over the next 2 years, sponsoring locally controlled self-help programs to ease the racial crisis in this country. There are no political or church strings attached to this money. Once a grant has been approved, its spending is totally controlled by the people in the community or the city who applied for it. And it's not just limited to easing black and white tensions. The Episcopal Church has made sizable grants to Mexican-American farm workers, as well as to the American Indian community. So far, these grants have ranged from a low of $300 for the legal defense of a man caught up in an Ohio race rumble to a high of some $200,000. The Episcopalian share of backing for the multi-million dollar Interreligious Foundation for Community Organization. Leon Modeste is standing by in New York to sort of compare notes with you, tell you what sort of projects his church is backing, tell you how you could apply for the same sort of thing, and at the same time get your ideas on what his church should be doing that perhaps isn't. You may speak to Mr. Modeste direct at our national number, which is area code 212-749-3311. And of course, you're always welcome to call us collect. That's national calls on area code 212-749-3311. For our West Coast listeners, as well as the listeners in Colorado and Texas, please call us at our special Western Regional number, which is area code 212-749-3357. And of course, you too can call us collect. That's Western calls on area code 212-749-3357. And in the New York area, please call us at 866-5010. That's local calls only on 866-5010. Mr. Modeste, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Del. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
We understand there's only one stipulation about how the Episcopalians' money should be spent. It cannot go to a group that's advocating violence.
That's right.
Now, just how literally do you interpret that?
Yeah, well, this is a problem in a sense as far as interpretation. So far, no group has really come to us and stated they're advocating violence or they want money for guns or anything like that. So we haven't really had to interpret it, and this would be something that we'd have to look at on an individual basis, because my feeling is that who can really interpret what's violence? We had a cat ride a pony, you know, in history, and he yelled to arms, and everyone thought he was a hero. So that it's difficult to say what really will be our interpretation on violence. So much of what we're going through in the ghetto areas is so similar to colonialism, you know, and this is the argument I usually give when people start talking to me about numbers, you know, would blacks really rile up? Well, you know, there was kind of 13 raggedy colonies that got themselves together against the whole British Empire. So that's going to have to be an individual thing when it comes up.
This particular program of the Episcopal Church, do you classify it as kind of a poverty program?
No, it's more to it than just poverty. Poverty is symptomatic of the ills, you know, in America. Basically, and I think the Colonel report was really on target, basically America's a racist society. And until we do something, you know, about that, we're going to have the poverty, we're going to have the bad housing and the bad schools. Underlying all of that, you know, is the problem of racism. And I think that's basic. And justice is basic. And until, you know, groups can begin developing their own policies and their own ideas, this concept of self-determination is really rhetoric. Our feeling that self-determination comes with power. When a group has power, it's recognized in this country, and this is what we're hoping to develop.
How was the $9 million raised?
The $9 million came from the General Convention of the Episcopal Church. This is a convention that meets every 3 years. And Bishop Hines, our presiding bishop, was quite upset that the church, because he walked around Bed-Stuy, that's where I live, walked with me around Bed-Stuy, met a number of the militants, met a number of people who were writing the church off. And he felt that not only was the country or the church in trouble, but the country was in trouble. And to really be relevant, we were going to have to do something. So a general convention, a budget was passed for the setting up of the particular unit that I'm heading.
There are a number of people in the country at this particular moment who seem to feel that much or many of the programs that are funding various efforts on behalf of the black community in America, that this is just another kind of giveaway. It's another attempt to just buy time. How do you view that?
No, this is not a giveaway, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there's an intensive screening process. I've got a pretty tough staff that makes an appraisal of every program and every community that sends in for money. And we determine whether this is a group that has the capability of pulling off whatever it is that they feel they want to do. It has to initiate from the community, and the community itself has to be in control. We know there's some hustlers around that know how to write up proposals, so that we're on the lookout for that. And when we go into a community, we stop at the bars and the barber shop and whatnot to see whether this is a viable organization doing the type of job that the community wants done. And this is pretty much our number one criteria. There must be community control of their own ideas.
Well, the program is also directed as self-help for people in America's ghettos, and in just reviewing some of the programs where you have funded, I see that your particular organization has awarded $10,000 to a fishermen's cooperative in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the church naturally has overseas where it has authority, and we have a number of overseas dioceses that are going through a lot of the pain. You know, wherever Americans are, there's this whole problem of racism and what have you. So that overseas now has begun sending in proposals to us, and our job is to consult with them to see how we can help them, and in this fisherman's case, to help the little guy get started, help him get the necessary equipment that he feels he needs in an effort to, you know, stand on his 2 feet. And many times outside help is needed, because it's outside and external forces that prevents a guy from standing. You know, we tend to cut off a guy's legs and then tell him stand tall here in America. Well, hell, how the devil can you stand tall if they're going to cut off your legs, you know, by crippling you in school or putting you in bad housing, you know, and police brutality and that type of thing that takes place time and time again. So that external help is needed, and I think the new book, Black Rage, is so to the point when they say every black man in America, there's a rage going on because he's been crippled time and time again by the injustices that take place in our country.
Now, when we talk about America's ghettos, are we also talking about ghettos where there are the majority of the inhabitants are whites?
Oh, this can be. We've funded a group called PAW, People Against Racism, which is pretty much a white group feeling that there's a number of things, you know, that blacks have to do, but there's a lot of things that whites have to do. And if we're going to lick this problem at all, we can't continue to focus in on the victims, but we've got to focus in on the ones that are oppressing. And the whites certainly need a lot of work done, and this group is one of the first groups that I know of that is devoting itself to the white majority and the illness there. So that's the other side of the coin that we're going to have to work on. And this is what we're developing now.
Mr. Modeste, we have calls standing by from New York City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as well as Providence, Rhode Island. And we'll begin with our first caller from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mrs. Ratley is hearing Night Call over WAMO in Pittsburgh. Mrs. Ratley, good evening.
Good evening. I would like to know program has to offer for the teenager?
The teenager, like everyone else, if there is a particular program, you know, that they're interested in, and it's a group of youngsters from a particular locale, they can write up their own proposal, or if they need some help, we would be willing to help them to develop a proposal that they themselves would like to carry out, and then we would evaluate it. But they can, you know, write in to 815
Second Avenue. 815
Second Avenue? Yeah, this is in New York City.
Sure. Well, this is what I wanted to know, because we have programs going on in Pittsburgh right now for the teenager in particular, and they're trying to get them into college, more black students into colleges from the ghettos. And we don't know exactly how to go about doing it on our own.
No, but if this is something that the young people want, and many of the young people are really writing the right agenda on many things, we certainly would be interested in helping.
Mrs. Ratley, when you say that you have a group of young people who are interested in going to school and you don't know how to go about it, would you explain that?
We are getting help from a company called Project Forward right now. It's a college group in Respect Incorporated. And they're all teenagers, and they've been trying to get into different various colleges within the area, but they haven't been successful in getting into them.
Oh, well, wait a minute now. Let me get this straight then. Because unless they fit in with some of the work or the criteria what we're talking about, now what I hear you're saying is that you're looking more for scholarship money.
No, we're not looking for scholarship money. They want to know how to get about getting into various colleges, period.
Well, why have they been turned down?
For various reasons. They don't have counselors to help you, you know, straight up. No one tells you where to go for help, things like that.
Your counseling help, oh, you're talking about advisory help. No, that wouldn't necessarily fit into what we're doing, because we're interested in moving into the system that has crippled youngsters that aren't even able to make it into high school because of the damages that are done in elementary school. So that as far as what you're saying now, these are youngsters that need some counseling, you know, on kind of individual basis. But there's so many other youngsters, as you and I well know, that are being crippled down in elementary and don't even make high school, let alone college. You know, the system sees to it that they don't make college. And this is the type of thing that we're really trying to attack at the root causes.
Well, if there are a group of youngsters who are eligible for college and they are unable at this point to be admitted, or for whatever reason they are not admitted to college, and there are a group of adults who feel that they would like to prepare these youngsters to give them some kind of direction, would this make them eligible?
Yeah. Not as far as our program is concerned, but there are funds around for this kind of tutorial help that are being asked for.
Mrs. Ratley, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thank you so much. This is Night Call in New York. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your calls collect. In New York, it's 866-5010. And on the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. Our guest tonight, Mr. Leon Modeste, who is in charge of the Episcopal Church's $9 million program of grants for self-help programs in America's ghettos. And we'll return to more calls right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Leon Modeste after station identification. America is growing smaller. Speed of communication, speed of travel, and the worldwide revolution in human rights. These things bind us together into a common destiny. One man's problem is every man's problem. More and more we realize the only real problem is the human problem. People who need jobs, better education, better places to live, better medical care, and better hope for the future. A chance to become part of the American dream of freedom and opportunity. But for the American dream to succeed, each of us must be responsive to the needs of others. To give a damn about our brother or our sister, black or white. You'll find some answers to how you can help give a damn, how you can offer your help, in a new booklet called Whose Crisis? Yours. You can get a copy without charge by writing to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, New York. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call from anywhere in the country to Leon Modeste about how you can help yourself. Again, Del Shields.
Just before we return to our guest tonight, Mr. Leon Modeste, Mrs. Ratley, who called in earlier, our suggestion, if she's still listening, is to drop a note to the Department of Education of Health, Education, and Welfare in Washington. And I think they have a list of colleges as well as the criteria involved, and I think they should be more than happy to give us some information. Mr. Modeste, we will, take our next call from Providence, Rhode Island. Mr. Feast, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, is hearing Night Call over WLKW-FM. Mr. Feast?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Very good. This is Mr. Modeste.
Yeah, hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't hear you too well.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
First of all, sir, I want you to know that I am a Roman Catholic.
Yes, sir.
I am probably the first one that has spoke on this program as being such.
Welcome.
Yeah.
And I would like to say this, sir.
Yes.
If you are going to have this program,
yes,
I believe, I mean, sincerely, I believe in helping,
yes,
the black people.
Yes.
Because I have made a tour of the black and white people.
Right.
And mostly the white people have rejected any thought of knowledge of the church.
Yeah.
And the black people have been very good and accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that for the best of everything, incidentally, I was very fortunate to go to a Catholic school.
Uh-huh.
And there was no church.
Yes.
That paid my way through.
Mm.
In other words, I had to pay it from the goodness,
yep,
of the parents I was living with.
Yes.
So I would like to say this, sir.
Yes.
That as much as the program is very good.
Yes.
I would believe that you should have it only for food, clothing,
mm-hmm,
and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as financial support.
Yes.
I would leave that up to the government and the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are bringing up an issue of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Though it may not seem that way.
Right.
And also, if you quote the scriptures.
Yeah.
It says that you shall work to the sweat of your brow to earn your bread.
Right.
And this giving financial aid.
Yeah.
As far as other than food, clothing, and shelter,
yeah,
will perhaps discourage anybody from performing their labor that they are supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do this for the Indians all the time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that the black man has been,
mm-hmm,
persecuted greatly,
yeah,
over the years.
Right.
But let's not say that it is all the white man that is to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look in your history,
mm-hmm,
you will see that the majority,
mm-hmm,
were Christians,
mm-hmm,
and that the white fathers,
yeah,
who were Catholic, incidentally,
right,
from Rome,
right,
were the first to, one of the first to give assistance to the,
mm-hmm,
to the Negroes out there, mm-hmm, in Africa.
Yeah, except the Catholics or the church itself was the one that was giving blessings as the cavalry went ahead and mowed down the Indians. Kind of genocide. I know we said Manifest Destiny and Westward Ho and what have you, but a lot of blessings were given down as the red man was, you know, literally murdered. And
well,
this is what took place.
At that time, we know that they were
mm-hmm,
more or less in the category of being savages.
Well, I guess that depends on where you look at it. I'm sure if you talk to an Indian, that would be the last thing he sees himself as.
And besides that, it was an Indian who, well, we'll take Manhattan Island for an example.
Uh-huh.
When he sold it to Peter Simonson, he sold it to him for practically a song.
Right. That's why you got to be careful, I guess, how you deal with whites. This might do you in.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Can you really say that the white people are responsible, really, for putting this trouble of slavery into existence?
Well, I think the type of dehumanization, and because slavery has been around a long time, but the type that has taken place here in America is about the worst type of slavery in the history of mankind. And this is something that was brought about by the whites here in America. And I would agree with you when you point out initially when you opened up how difficult it is for you to work with white people. In fact, you feel a lot better working with blacks because they seem to be a lot more acceptable and receive you better. And this is true. And I think now it's difficult for whites when blacks are saying, no, let us get our thing together. And if you're really sincere about this thing and you understand the problem, work with your neighbors, because this is true. A black man cannot really work but so much with whites because they turn them off. Now, if your understanding of what's going on and trying to get this type of thing across to your neighbor, you're in a better position than any black man could hope to be.
Well,
I'd have to differ with you a bit when you say just give them, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, because that's kind of like welfare, which can keep a person pretty dependent. And it never once gives a man a sense of dignity or self-respect or being a man at all. So I really would have to differ with that, because that's the whole colonial welfare system that keeps the person down.
But like I told you, I did not receive any assistance from my church whatsoever to attend the Catholic schools.
But it's more than sweat of the brow, and it's more than the Ten Commandments and staying clean and smelling nice. We've learned that, hopefully.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a whole, you know, discriminatory system taking place here in America. And as if you're poor and white, you stand a chance of moving up. But brother, if you black, you're in trouble. Because there's a real caste system here in America based on race. And I don't care if you're making $5 or you're making $500 a week. If you're black, you're just another black boy, and you better watch yourself.
Mr. Faith, thank you so much for calling, sir. Thank you so much, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, how you can help yourself, our guest, Mr. Leon Modeste, in charge of the Episcopal Church's $9 million program. And, of course, we welcome your calls. Collect. We take our next call, this time from New York, from Malvern, Long Island. An old friend of ours, Mr. Sicaccio, is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Mr. Modeste,
yes, sir.
Modeste, I'd like to correct Mr. Finks. I'm also a Roman Catholic, and I've been on this program about 7 times, and I've been listening since it started.
Oh, so he's not the first.
He's not the first, definitely not.
Yes, sir.
This tale about the Indians and the white man slaughtering the Indians, isn't that sort of passé? I mean, that happened years ago.
Right.
Haven't we changed since then? I mean, hasn't our... You know, the whites in general have changed
well,
since that time.
You heard the gentleman before you say how much, you know, of savages they were and that type of thing. So I don't know that it's really that passé, that evidently there still has to be a lot of re-education, to take place for a lot of people.
No, but I mean, haven't the whites changed since then? I mean, there's no massacre. Now, I don't know, I'm not sure whether the Indians did the massacring or the whites. That's past history, and...
Well, I think you should be a little more accurate. We know who did the massacring and who had the cry, you know, euphemistic cry of manifest destiny, and let's move ahead. We know the Indians talk about the Trail of Tears, which has to do with the Seminoles that were forced across the, you know, Andes, the Adirondacks and all to the west to put on reservations where they had to walk across, you know, from South Florida and South Carolina and what have you through the mountains, and if any of them tried to break to go back home, they were shot dead. You know, we know about that.
Yeah,
and that's accurate history.
Yeah,
now, I would agree with you, maybe it isn't quite as brutal as it was then, and there's a lot more sophistication and, you know, psychological brainwashing taking place, although when you look in Chicago, you wonder whether or not we've left that brutality. I'm not too sure. But in any event, by and large, it perhaps here isn't quite that brutal, but a lot of discrimination takes place, you know.
Well, this Chicago incident, I hear so much about it. It's always police brutality. Don't you think that perhaps they had a right to be brutal?
Well, Mr. Sicaccio, we don't want to talk about Chicago tonight.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't think we have enough time.
Right.
that's available to us to discuss, Mr. Daley and the police department. But I think what we should address ourselves to is the fact that for 400 years, black people were in slavery here in America.
Right.
And the fact that now that we do have some kind of legislation available, everybody's expecting the black man to catch up for that absence of 400 years, and it's just impossible.
Right.
You know, you can't expect for a man who has not had the education, nor had the opportunity, nor had the available to him the sources of money, the sources of funding, the education, the technical know-how, and everything else that is involved that makes up what we know as the Western civilization, or what makes up what we know as American society. You cannot expect black people to do this overnight, and I think this is where much of the frustration is today. Now, the Episcopal Church has decided to allocate $9 million to a self-help program to try to help people who possibly cannot get funded from the government because of the red tape involved and because of all of the other problems involved. But here is a church that says, here's $9 million. If there are people who are trying to do something to help themselves, let's try to do it. Yep. Now, again, we talk about communication. Already we had one gentleman that says, well, now he doesn't agree with this. You should not have self-help programs. You should take this money and give it to blacks for food, clothing, and shelter, and forget the rest. And I think one of the problems that we have in this country is communication. And until we can get some kind of common ground and develop a type of dialogue where the black man and the white man can sit down and understand that basically the problem is a common problem. The whites are just as hung up in America as blacks are. And until we recognize this, I don't think we can go any further.
Well, this, I agree with you on Dell, but that's not the point. Now, what I wanted to say...
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, just tell me what the point is.
I can't disagree with you.
Okay.
You're perfectly right.
Was there a question?
Yes, there was a question. All this money going towards helping, I mean, I agree with it. I think it's very right.
Okay.
It comes from the churches.
Right.
And, you know, the government should pay more than they're paying now to begin with. I agree with the other gentleman, too.
Mm-hmm.
They need a lot of help. But is someone doing something else about this whole issue?
Yeah, well, what is hope for, and what Bishop Hines had in mind, he knew that $9 million really was no money at all. But he hoped symbolically this meant something, that the church would be this involved, would be responsive to people's needs, that other churches would get on board, because no one group or denomination at all can do, you know, the problem is just too big. But his big thing was to begin hearing the little guy, and he feels that if we could only start being responsive and listening to each other, that this whole bit of having to blow up or whatever would not have to take place, because by and large, the little guy is asking for what the majority kind of accepts and, you know, for granted, and the guy is only demanding what is rightfully his due, you know.
True.
And this is what's behind that.
I wanted to ask one question,
yes.
And I went all around the place.
Yeah.
are you a black man first?
Right.
Yeah.
Is that important?
What does that have to do with it?
No. I was just wondering.
No, but you always ask.
I make my own, you know.
But why are you always concerned as to whether the person is black or white?
You conceal your voice so beautifully, and it's remarkable. See, I commented on your speech, Dell, remember?
And I was embarrassed.
No, you shouldn't have been, because
what is the color of my voice? I know it came through in colors.
No, hold on a minute.
Oh.
I was down south, and the school teachers, college graduates, Southerners cannot get rid of that darned accent, and you people have accomplished it, and I admire you for it. That's the only reason why I commented on it.
Well, when you say you people, and you sound like you have some preconceived notions about what you're expecting before you even meet anybody.
I think a person does pretty well by speaking, you know, very, very good, and losing that darn accent. That's very important. I like it.
Well, I have nothing to do with down south, and my parents are from the south, but I'm a product of New York City ghetto schools.
Yeah, but you see, I like when people can overcome that accent, you know?
I see.
That's what I admire about
it. All right, sir. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our subject tonight, how you could help yourself. And, of course, one of the great things about Night Call is that I often remark that we may not always agree, but at least we can talk to each other. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Leon Modeste, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Dell Shields and guest Leon Modeste after station identification. Next week on Night Call, Monday, the new 26-year-old head of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Phil Hutchings, says the black man can no longer afford to be just angry. Now he has to be smart, too. Tuesday, Jonathan Kozol, author of Death at an Early Age, the book that says that's exactly what happens intellectually to most young blacks in ghetto schools. Wednesday, the man who runs Urban Coalition's self-help projects in St. Louis, Donald Bourgeois. Thursday, President Elizabeth Kuntz of the NEA. She says paternalism is dead, but there are still an awful lot of people who haven't read the obituary notices. And Friday, Dr. J. Edward Carruthers of the Methodist Board of National Missions. He also says paternalism has to go, that kindness or charity doesn't make it anymore. Now it has to be faith, hope, and justice. All this next week on Night Call. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call from anywhere in the country to Leon Modeste about how you can help yourself. Again, Del Shields.
And a welcome, as always, to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour each night. Our guest, Mr. Leon Modeste, who has the responsible job of dispensing some $9 million for self-help programs in America's ghettos. So we're discussing tonight how you can help yourself, and you can help yourself tonight by calling Mr. Modeste, by calling area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. Our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. And on the West Coast, that special number is area code 212-749-3357. That number on the West Coast again is area code 212-749-3357. And as always, we always welcome your calls collect. Mr. Modeste, in reviewing many of the programs where grants have been made from your particular fund, I see that you've also gotten involved in legal defense. Mm-hmm. Now, is this also considered a self-help program?
That's right, and in many ways. But before I go to that, one thing I want to make clear, because Ms. Ratley, when she called, the appearance seemed to be that if we reject you, it stops at that, and it really doesn't. We have a fairly extensive referral, so that depending on what the request is, if we can't handle it, we then at least try to hook the person in or the, you know, program in with a funding source other than our own, so that we still give a service, even though we might have to say no, you know, about the funds itself at the Episcopal Church. Your point about the Legal Defense Fund, we're finding that a good number of, and I think you know it because I was a parole officer, of some of the injustices that take place in the various courts, and for poor people in many instances, and black in particular, they don't have the wherewithal for the legal funds, so that we do make grants available for some legal help. Now, we know we can't do this all over the country, but there has been isolated instances where we have done this. But it's not a, you know, overall type of thing that we do. But given particular circumstances, we will help a group out.
What are the steps for an organization to take to apply for funds? Do you require some kind of rigid preparation or with professional consultants? Or can the average lay group, a group of people who feel that they have an idea for help for themselves, can they just get together and kind of write up an informal proposal and submit it to you?
That's right. And we've had some come in, you know, in pencil and all. We've got an excellent fellow, Harry Quanda, who's on the intake, who, if he sees a germ of an idea, will then either call a person in or we would send someone out to sit down with the group and help them spell out, you know, verbally what it is that they hope to do or would like to do. And then we will then help them, because we're doing this with a group out in Long Island now. We've had about 4 consultative visits with them to help them prepare their proposal to submit it into the, you know, the process here. So that, no, all you need to do is have a germ of an idea, and it's enough of the community that's involved in this thing, and we will give the necessary assistance to, you know, help you polish it off. Yeah.
There were 2 daycare centers in Alabama that you funded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, that's a little misleading, because people see daycare, and immediately, I guess, they get the image of just taking care of youngsters. Although that term is used, this is really a community organization type activity where they are out, you know, not only involved in electioneering as far as educating people in politics and registering voters, but organizing the community to develop the essential power so that the powers that be will begin recognizing the demands that the group wants. But it's basically a community organization. Both of them are basically community organization projects down south, although they say, you know, daycare. And this is the type of thing that we're interested in as we talk of, you know, groups developing power. And it's just that essential, and I do feel that this is the work of the church, because the question is raised, you know, should the church really be doing this type of thing? And my whole feeling is that the church's job, basically, isn't working with the poor and the powerless and what have you. That this is where it's really at. And Christ Almighty, that was his job, you know, organizing and working with the poor. So if there's going to be any kind of recognition, and we talk about dignity of man, it has to mobilize forces to be recognized. And this is the only way, you know, you are recognized here in America, unfortunately.
Now, you've also funded some groups in the Puerto Rican community here in New Jersey, that is.
That's right. We funded not only there, but down in the, well, there's one coming up now down the island of Puerto Rico, which is a community development type operation that we funded, along with Indians and, like I said, other minority groups as well. But yes, we pretty well are covering, you know, again, my point, attempting to be responsive to the calls of the guy that generally isn't heard by the powers that be. And we know that basically the Episcopal Church has the image of being part of the structure, and I guess it really is. But it feels it's time, if the structure is going to survive at all, it's got to be responsive to its populace. And the argument that Bishop Hines is saying is that the church and America itself cannot continue to write off its rich resources that it has in human beings. So this is our call, and this is what we're trying to do.
What was the largest grant you've made?
The largest grant that we've made to date is a $200,000 grant with the matching funds for IFCO, so that we'll go up to about $700,000. IFCO is a group that has been formed with other churches and other denominations, Jewish, Catholics, and all, being involved in setting it up so that it should be a multi-million dollar funding source. And we were one of the first churches to come through with our promise toward funding it. And that's our largest right now.
Mr. Modeste, we'll take our next call from Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Price is hearing Night Call over WVOL. Mr. Price, good evening.
Hello, Mr. Shields.
Yes, sir.
I have a question I'd like to answer to.
I can't hear.
I have one or two questions.
Oh, yes,
like
sir.
To direct to Mr. Modeste.
Yes, sir.
And it's pertaining to whether or not in the event that one is made a grant by the Episcopal Church,
yes,
what are the terms in returning?
What are the terms and what?
In returning or repaying.
Of repayment?
Yes.
No, there are no terms as far as repayment, sir. A group, whether they need 20 or 40,000 or what have you, as long as we do the appraisal, and this is the amount that's needed for the particular community to do the job that it wants to do, the money is then turned over to them, and it's an outright grant, so that we don't expect any return, other than seeing, you know, people begin to feel as people, knowing that they're doing a project that is something that they themselves are interested in, and that they themselves have devised, and that they control. And I think that control factor is most important, because that was my point about self-determination or involvement, as the common vernacular carries it, is meaningless unless the group has control of what it is that they're doing. So that's why the money is given as an outright grant, and the group has its full control to spend it as it sees fit. And this can mean an awful lot to a lot of people.
Now, the reason I was asking that,
yes,
is because we have formed here in Nashville,
yes,
a committee called PAC.
PAC?
PAC.
Oh, PAC, uh-huh.
Positive Affirmative Action Committee,
mm-hmm.
which is formed or formulated or made up of youngsters from Belle Meade, which is one of the affluent or rich sections
mm-hmm.
of Davidson County,
mm-hmm.
and of certain young black people from the North Nashville area,
mm-hmm.
Some primarily from my own congregation.
Yes, sir.
And this committee has gone into a particular community, a poverty area.
Yes, sir.
Where it's rat infested. The houses are drooping as if they're going to fall any moment.
Right.
So we went in immediately to kind of give the people in this area some pride, knowing that we weren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that subsequently with the news media and with some conferences with the mayor,
yeah.
and with some conferences with the Metropolitan Action Commission,
yes.
we would get some kind of grant to rehabilitate fully the community. Now, these homes primarily are owned by various individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a young man here who is with Vista that is going to help us draw up some plans
mm-hmm.
for a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process now of cooperating ourselves for the purpose of being non-profit
mm-hmm.
to go into this community and other communities and help them in a self-help program
yes, sir.
In reconstruction of mm-hmm. homes wherein they could have a co-op investing
mm-hmm.
in this with their nickels and dimes, et cetera,
right.
and developing supermarkets and
right.
creating a workforce and also a training program.
Now, is this what the people want, or is this what your group feels you want to do for the people?
No, this is what the people want.
Uh-huh.
We have several people that we're trying to help in our own limited way. But with
Mr. Price, are you seeking funds for this group? Mr. Modeste, what should Mr. Price do?
How's that?
I'm asking Mr. Modeste what as to I'd like for his advice as to how you can get funded.
Yeah, what I see happening, and that's why my question came about. I wasn't certain whether you, sir, were organizing with your Vista worker your particular committee to go into another area to help set up a co-op, or whether the area in which the help you see is needed are themselves being a part of and instrumental in setting up this co-op and devising whatever plans that they might have, and not the Vista worker or you yourself doing it.
No, you misunderstood me, Mr. Modesto. I said I have a friend who is a Vista worker, who is a lawyer, that's going to be instrumental in helping us draw up the plans for this community.
Well, let me tell you this then. As long as this is a plan of a particular community and they themselves will be the governing board who will be instrumental in implementing whatever the plans might be, then they stand in good position and a proposal or a long letter explaining what it is that you want it done could be mailed to me at 815 Second Avenue, you know, in New York City. And we will then work with you in furthering developing it. But it basically must be the people themselves who normally are looked upon as recipients being participants in whatever program or co-op that you're talking about.
Well, this is what I'm saying to you, that it is the people themselves,
good.
The
Very
people
good.
In the community. I've gone to the mayor, for instance. As a matter of fact, I went to him Friday and explained the program to him. Now,
have any of the people going with you so that they could do the explaining themselves?
Well, how could there? A whole community of people? I tried to get him out.
No, they could send their representative. That's what I'm trying to get at. How involved is this community that this is the thing that they're, are interested in having done?
It is completely involved. It is completely involved.
Then they could have their own spokesman and you could kind of take a back seat then. Is that right?
It would be very easy.
Mr. Price, as Mr. Modeste has said, if you would drop him a note,
right.
at 815 Second Avenue in New York. He'll be more than happy to review your program. He wishes you the very best of luck.
Right. Well, what is his first name?
Oh, Leon. L-E-O-N.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest and our subject tonight, how you can help yourself right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Leon Modeste after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, the Federal Communications Commission has put all radio and television station licensees on notice that from now on, not only programming practices will be taken into account when renewal time comes around. Now the FCC is going to examine hiring practices as well. Just what does this mean as the Second American Revolution continues its quest for full racial equality? FCC Commissioner Nicholas Johnson answers your direct questions on racial equality, hiring, and programming practices tomorrow night on Night Call. Johnson has already said that only the truth can set us free, that only confrontations with the terrible truths of race relations in this country can free us morally and materially to get on with the job. FCC Commissioner Nicholas Johnson on racial equality, hiring, and programming practices tomorrow night on Night Call. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call from anywhere in the country to Leon Modeste about how you can help yourself. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Leon Modeste, and we'll take our next call from New York. Miss Berry is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM.
Hello.
Miss Berry, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Modeste.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very
yes.
well.
Yes, my name is Kelly Marie Berry. I'm an actress. And I'm listening with a lot of interest to the program. And let me preface my questions to, first of all, by saying to one of the gentlemen who spoke about Southern accents, black people's Southern accents a few minutes ago, my project is primarily for elementary school-age children, taking black theater into the schools for our children. We want our children to know that Southern accent need not be something that they should be ashamed of. We have idioms, we have a manner of speech that is beautiful and that is a part of our heritage that we need not throw away. And part of our theater project, my theater project, I say our because it's a collective experience, is to show our children just this.
Yeah.
Now, the program or the project was written up about 4 years ago.
Yes.
And we've just been sitting on it because we cannot get any funding. The foundations say what a wonderful project,
mm-hmm.
but do your heroes need to be black people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't they be universal, you know, figures?
Yeah. I hear you.
So at this point when I heard about your funding, yes. I was very interested and I'm, you know, calling
mm-hmm.
just on the, you know, basis of what I've just told you.
Yes.
You yep. see, because we went into East Harlem
mm-hmm.
with our own little monies that we scraped together.
Yeah.
And we did like 20-minute spots
mm-hmm.
in about 40 schools back in 1965. And the kind of thirst and hunger
mm-hmm.
that the black children and Puerto Rican children have in this city
yeah.
just to see their own people stand on the stage and do something that
right.
has some meaning.
Right.
To them, that has something to do with their experience, their own experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
It really moved us, you know, and we
yeah.
and we wanted to get in there and really do something, you know, where you're really
yeah.
Dealing with communication.
Would the schools refund
here.
You? Would the schools
no.
you know, keep you going?
No.
Uh huh. Because this is something that you know we're interested in. Because I know exactly what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and I know one of the questions that would be asked though. Would be how much, you know, and how much of an impact does this make on the community? What are you trying to do? And how much of the community is involved in wanting this as a sponsoring, you know, type of project? mm-hmm. that the that you would have this kind of support. So mm-hmm. that the question that comes to my mind is whether or not you're plugged in with any kind of communal component, so that it isn't a one-shot type thing, but there's some type of, you know, after you finish the
right.
Great thrill of
right.
seeing black,
yes.
there's some type of follow-up and consistency involved to really make an impact on what you're trying to do, so that it's not a one-shot, you know, type
well,
thing.
Well, it definitely is not a one-shot thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole training device, really. I mean,
uh-huh.
you're dealing with visual experience, and that entails, you know,
right.
speaking,
right.
writing, and all of the aspects of learning,
uh-huh.
you know?
Well, Miss Berry, the address for you is 815 2nd Avenue in New York.
Right.
And I would suggest that you get started on writing that letter and that proposal and get it in the hands of
okay.
Mr. Modesti right away.
Right.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you so much for calling.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll go now to Austin, Texas. Mr. Wade is hearing Night Call over KUT-FM. Mr. Wade, good evening, sir.
Good evening. I have a question for Mr. Modesto.
Yes, Mr.
Perhaps
Wade.
You better explain, give a little picture of the situation
okay.
that might be an example of how to reply. We have a part of the city here that's called Clarksville, which is predominantly Negro and black, as you prefer to say today, and it's being squeezed pretty hard right now economically, in that property is being purchased where there's more money in the white areas, and buying out the Negroes one by one, so it may not be a malicious intent, but the consequences will be that there's one spot of Negroes in the middle of a white area will be innovated. And these people are concerned as a group, but they are not sure which way to turn or how to go. There are two approaches to this thing. Some Vista workers have been working with them, and mm-hmm. real fine young people, mm-hmm. real dedicated to you know,
right.
helping, but not particularly knowledgeable about how to how government, city government, and things work, and how to apply pressure in the right places.
Right.
And so the question comes in. Some of the older people in my church and others that are concerned with social action recognize that what these people need is some good advice and counseling as to how they can take the bull by the horns and be effective in city through pressures to city government and so forth. But of course, the obvious material problem comes up of the wherewithal, the means,
right.
the financial means.
Right.
Now, my question to Mr. Modesto
yes.
Is this fund being used in some cases rather than as grants, and this means spreading it much farther, as a guarantee of loans, similar to the Federal Housing Administration's guarantee of, you know, for everybody for housing.
Yeah, that's right. No, we have not done that for the simple reason, first of all, you can get some kind of loans, and especially if there's any kind of feasibility study from Urban America. But loans opens up a whole new bag, and, you know, you get involved in interest and that type of thing.
Yes.
That we are really not equipped to deal with. However,
well, secured loans.
We don't do loans, sir.
You're not doing this at all?
No, sir.
Well,
no.
I'm sure that you've studied very carefully, and I'm not questioning your judgment, but I was interested in knowing what your judgment was, and if possible, why this is not a feasible way of spreading $9 million to go a long way.
Well, what I was saying is because this opens up, you know, a whole new set of criteria and everything else that has to be developed that we're just not equipped to deal with. However,
mm-hmm.
If they were to call, pointing out what the problem is, that we would then attempt to hook them in with some resource, you know, other than now, since we
yes.
don't do that,
yes.
but some way that they could get some kind of help locally. You know, the Episcopal Church has now put over $3 million in ghetto banks in poor areas right across the country
yes.
in an effort to get the local diocese and local parishes involved in freeing up money in ghetto areas.
I understand.
So this is part of some of that economic development type stuff that you hear so often about.
Yes.
But we would be willing to go into this with some detail with you and see if we could offer you, you know, that type of consultative help.
I just got into this. I've just returned to Austin after several years away, and I don't know enough details yet to be specific. But
okay.
we'll continue to work with this
right.
group on this thing and see if we can find out the particulars so that we can possibly contact you then.
Right. Feel
and,
free to do.
You'd like to give that address again.
Yes, it's 815 2nd Avenue, New York, New York. And my name is Leon Modesti.
Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ends with an E?
Yeah, E. M-O-D-E-S-T.
Okay.
Like modest. M-O-D-E-S-T.
I mispronounced it. All right. Thank you very
much. Okie doke then.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. We'll take our final call in the evening again from Texas, this time Fort Worth. Mr. Mack is hearing Night Call over KNOK-FM. Mr. Mack, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Dale. Certainly it's good to hear you, and I've been listening to the program and enjoy it very, very much. And my question is a very specific one.
Yes, sir.
We here in the Fort Worth area are trying to put together a black indigenous organization,
uh-huh.
primarily to do community organization.
Right.
And we would like to know what steps should we take
right.
to process for being funding.
Uh-huh. Well, you can do one of two things. You could certainly get in touch with me saying that you're in the process and what ideas you have. And if you need any consultative help, I can send somebody down there to sit down with your group and help them talk it through and kind of crystallize, you know, their thinking on it and develop a proposal that could then be fed into the hopper here. But if you're on the preliminary stage and you want to know, you know, whether you're on the right track or, you know, that type of thing, we do provide consultative help, and we have a network of consultants around the country who I could wire and send somebody down and sit down in person, because here again, Bishop Hines feel that person-to-person contact is a lot more important than just the money.
Well,
so if you've got a germ of an idea and you feel you need some help, we'd be delighted to sit down with you.
We certainly would appreciate the
sure.
personal contact. We have put together, we have been exposed to the OEO community organization in field because of the limitations.
Right. I know, I was in that myself.
And we're quite anxious for getting non-federal dollars, so we do have some expertise
okay.
in the community organization area and do have a proposal
oh.
ready to be sent.
Right.
And we would like to know where and what are some of the features that you would like.
Yeah, you send it to me. A budget naturally is important, but again, giving me a pretty good breakdown of your board structure, who's controlling this thing, you know, and whether it is local people involved and that they're the ones that, you know, want this. That's crucial.
How important
yes.
is the interfaith denomination involvement at the board level?
As long as it's not overwhelming, you know, that you do have a number of, you know, grassroots folks involved, local folks involved in this thing, and it's not controlled by professionals, you know, the clergy or social workers and the teachers and that type of thing.
Excellent, then, because most of our board are black grassroots folk, and we did not want to overpower it simply to meet the criteria for the interfaith bid. And so I think we have exactly what you would be interested in.
Mr. Mack, thank you so much for calling, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Mack.
Mr. Modesta, we want to thank you so much. We normally give you a chance to kind of sum up what we have discussed and kind of give us a projection, but I think you did very, very well to explain what this program is, and $9 million doesn't sound like a great deal of money. But to a lot of people, they may think that this may solve all of the problems. But I think the Episcopal Church and yourself should be congratulated, as well as Bishop Hines, for giving us a program that perhaps might help to better things. We want to thank you so much for being with us.
Well, we're trying. Peace and power to you.
Thank you so much. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Federal Communications Commissioner Nicholas Johnson on racial equality, hiring, and programming practices. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.